Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty. This is Snap Reactions for Week 6. And this is the tight end position. And I'll say, I think it's pretty stock up at the top. You've got Kelce and you've got Waller in terms of expected points. Kelce was 16 expected PPR points per game. Darren Waller, 15.4. Gronkowski is actually third with 15.2. Again, that's only on three games, so you get a little bit of difference there. And then it's pretty close with Andrews at 14.1, Pitts at 13.4, Hockenson at 12.4. And so you're seeing by that point, it's about a little over three and a half point drop off. But then there's some really close in the next group. So it's Fant at 12.2, Kittle at 12.1. And then I think that's what we would think of as like a top tier. There's a couple guys left out, which we could talk about. But I think that's what we would think of generally as a top tier. I think it's interesting that Gesicki and Dalton Schultz are very close thereafter at 11.6 and 11.1 expected points. So you basically have between 16 and 11.1, you've got the top 10 guys at the position. Again, they don't all finish that way, but I think when you start to look in terms of usage, it's interesting that Gesicki and Schultz are sort of tailed on to the back end of that. To the back end of that tier with the top guys. If you look where Schultz is at 11.1, for example, and you go down to Zach Ertz, who's at 9.7, that difference from 10 to 12 at the position, that's the same difference as 10 to 5, right? So there's an interesting sort of gap there when you look at how that tier fits out. It does drop off quite a bit. And I think that you know, packaging sort of Gesicki and Schultz in with the Hockenson Fant group right now is interesting. Again, you're just looking at this year and you're not sort of getting the full dynasty implications of it. But I think when you sort of look at the position, it's interesting in total. And then when you sort of go and say, all right, who's the overperformers? Dawson Knox overperforms. They don't have PFF doesn't have the full Monday night stats up yet, but Dawson Knox overperformer, and I'm sure will overperform given the fact that he threw a 2-point conversion. Like, just those things will add him up over expectation. Gronkowski's up there in terms of being over expectation as well. Schultz top five in terms of over expectation. CJ Uzama is lower at the position, but also over expectation. Then Mark Andrews again. So you sort of look at these, and it's interesting. I think some names here that are worth highlighting in terms of their actual scoring is Hunter Henry coming in at 10.7 points per game. I think that's when you sort of look at that and you say, all right, like, where would, you know, coming into the season, Jonnu Smith, I would have pegged Jonnu Smith as being the higher scorer. I probably was wrong on that. I think it was more of a process error, honestly, as I go back and think more about this. I'm not sure what my prior would have been to assume that he would have been the better pass catcher, because that just wasn't true. So I that was probably a mistake in sort of buying into some of the narrative. Again, and we'll see how much ultimately Hunter Henry actually matters, but it was probably a combination of like, all right, like, he fit Jonnu Smith profiles a little bit more as like a move guy. And, you know, when you sort of projected the two, I just didn't expect a ton of volume. And so that was like this really sucks for Hunter Henry more so than it is good for Jonnu Smith. I think that's an interesting one. I'm not sure how much that experience is going to teach us in terms of prior tight end work, but it might teach us something in terms of, you know, receivers and when teams double up on receivers, sort of how do we use that as an advantage to us. And it does feel like at this point we probably should have thought about Henry more aggressively than we probably did. As more of a, even more so than a bet against Jonnu Smith, which again, I had been calling Jonnu Smith like the more expensive version of Gerald Everett, who coincidentally has more expected points and more points per game than Jonnu Smith does. So I think like when you look at that, like it's not super surprising that he has more points per game. He doesn't have more expected points. But when you sort of look at that, like Gerald Everett's actually outproducing his situation where Jonnu Smith is underproducing it, again, that sort of harkens back to they were essentially the same player coming into this free agent class. I think it's really interesting. Some additional situations here I do think are worth noting. We have some really interesting answers here in terms of like your injuries. And again, we'll see what happens with Logan Thomas long term. I'm really interested in that because I did stock up on a couple of shares of him in the process of like, hey, I'm just gonna throw some tight ends at the board and see what sticks. I did some of that. Again, him being hurt, it doesn't appear to be it's going to be forever injury. But the past 2 weeks, Ricky Seals-Jones, actually the past 3 weeks, since Logan Thomas got injured, which was in week four, 93% snap share, 99% snap share, and 100% snap share. John Bates basically playing a quarter of the snaps. That tells you the answer. When you add up all of the snaps between Logan Thomas and Jonnu Smith the past we'll call it the past 3 weeks, so weeks four, five, and six, they have played all but one snap. They have played all but one snap. So that really tells you something about how we should probably view Ricky Seals-Jones, which is sort of in that same light of, hey, I don't need him to be good per se. I need him to run a ton of routes and be adequate in that process. And, you know, I think overall, like we will take that as fantasy production, especially in your tight end premiums. Like that's absolutely a flex worthy consideration, right? And you just sort of deal with it. Again, you'll get a little bit lower variance because you have the use of you're just getting more points over the past, more points for receptions over the past 3 weeks. So weeks four, five, and six. Again, this is before Monday Night Football is counted in this. I don't think that it is going to matter. I'm just looking at the numbers so I can give you a full on. Yeah, it shouldn't matter. Dawson Knox isn't going to affect this. So I can say pretty confidently that Ricky Seals-Jones over the past 3 weeks is fourth in terms of routes. So Kelsey first in terms of 130, Fant 122, TJ Hockenson at 110. Ricky Seals-Jones at 109. So when you look at that, you're like, all right, like that's really, really interesting. He's sort of lining up all over the place and not doing a ton of inline stuff, but he's lining up in the slot out wide, basically a quarter of the stuff in line. When you look at it, yards per route run, 1.08 yards per route run. That's by way of reference, 1.05 for Evan Engram on just a slightly lower number here. Over the past 5 weeks. So Evan Engram, I think, is notable that he is fifth in terms of yards per in terms of routes run over the past 3 weeks. Again, he doesn't have a touchdown to show for it, so that's partially, I think, holding him back. But when you look again, it's 20, just short of 23 points over those past 3 weeks. Again, if you sort of kick in a touchdown like you get for Ricky Seals-Jones, that sort of hits differently. So I do think with a guy like Engram, you can feel decent about that. Some other guys over the past 3 weeks that have really high route run numbers. You've got Andrews at sixth, which again has been one of the bugaboos for him. Is like he just doesn't like if he had run sort of the Kelsey route dispersion, like he would be a smashing success. And when you look at him this year, it's at, you know, over the past 3 weeks, it's 2.82 yards per route run. Just a smash situation. But again, sixth and 30 routes less than Kelsey. So that just tells you that's going to kind of be one of the things he's always going to sort of fit in the middle of the tight end one landscape for usage in terms of just outright volume of usage. But then when you sort of look at the efficiency, I mean, if he was running routes for Patrick Mahomes, like in that offense with that level of just passing volume, like he would be the clear cut going away tight end one. Like that's just, I feel really confident about that. Like he is that damn good. The problem is he just doesn't get that same usage juice that some of those other guys do, but he is as safe of a floor tight end one as you can find. Especially over the long term, considering his age. I mean, Kelce is equally safe, I think, but he's in terms of production, but he's older, right? So when you sort of look at those younger guys, I would say he's absolutely like a rock solid, safe tight end one. And you look at like the grade, like again, over the past 3 weeks, he's the best graded tight end. So you just sort of, again, it's just nitpicking the recent stuff, but I do think some of the stuff is interesting because we see so much movement with the tight end position in particular. Just looking at some of the recent stuff is interesting, and you know, I think it confirms a lot of like what we were concerned about Andrews. I think a little bit of a slow start, but again, he's been the number one tight end in terms of grade over the course of the season. 2.44 yards per route run, just crazy efficiency here. Yeah, I mean, and then you just compare him, like, here's a good comp. You compare him to TJ Hockenson. Just use TJ Hockenson for example. TJ Hockenson has run basically 32 more routes than Andrews has, and Andrews has over a yard better per route over the course of the season than Hockenson does. Just crazy, crazy good. He's definitely a target. If you're looking to go out and make a jump, I think he's one that you can go and acquire. Like, he's a guy that I think is a core asset that might still be acquirable, especially in like a tight end premium, that you could sort of really uptick your team here down the stretch. Like, we constantly talk about hitting on big time core assets. Mark Andrews is definitely one. We've been talking about him for a while, and now he's really starting to get the breakout. So I hope you were able to get in some shares. I actually wasn't. I found it hard to actually buy into him. Some other guys that have been really high up there in terms of routes. Again, this is just sort of shooting for some volume. You got Tyler Conklin is eighth at the position. Jared Cook is seventh. So I know that there has been some Donald Parham love going on amongst the Twitter sphere. Jared Cook way up there. So again, I think you could feel pretty confident about him, like tight end one type conversation for sure. Kyle Pitts, he's up there as well. And again, only in five games. So I think we'll be really interested to see sort of what his production is over the back half of the season. But you look, 1.77 yards per route run. That's excellent start to his career. And would probably be even a little bit different of a narrative if he had scored another touchdown so far. So good on him. Good start to the season, ultimately. When you look out some other spots here, I just do want to highlight the Arizona situation, because Arizona was one I was a little bit curious about what they were going to do, given the fact that it was Max Williams' injury, and I just wanted to see what they would do in terms of running routes. There was just no real production, honestly. If you sort of look at it, I thought maybe Demetrius Harris was like a poor man's Ricky Seals-Jones, for example, but he ran 8 routes compared to 14 the week prior, and he'd run 35 so far in the season, and he's got one target. It should be no shock that they're going to bring in Zach Ertz. It would be the long and the short of it. And he's just not really any production there to write home about. He's been a name that's kind of been bandied around as like, hey, he could be a potential breakout guy. It really hasn't happened. He's never had a PFF grade above 56.5, which was on 4 targets when he was in a rookie in Kansas City. So that just gives you an idea. Like, it has been a while for Demetrius Harris sort of not living up to some of the hopes and aspirations of dynasty owners abound. Some additional situations here. I think, you know, again, looking at Goddard, I think Goddard's interesting from a, you know, how do we view him per se? It might just sound like inherently vague, but I do think with Goddard, it is very, I think he's been okay. He is older than we think. So he will be 27 in January, which is, I think, on the older side of what we think of him, I think if people put a number to it, you would think, oh, he's still on a rookie deal. Like, he's going to be younger than that. He's on the older edge. So I think that's something to sort of bear in mind. He hasn't been extended. And again, when that happens, all that harkens back to is, it's like Kenny Galladay theory, right? Like, you don't let Kenny Galladay walk out the door when you don't have an answer at tight end. or at wide receiver for Detroit. And they did. And you're like, okay, well, that's blaring bad outcome. But then you say, okay, well, he's, you know, all right, they're getting rid of Ertz. And then you see quotes from Roseman, and it's like, you know, their GM, and it's like, hey, he really needs to, you know, use this opportunity to kind of prove himself and these sorts of things. And you're like, wait a second, like, what is going on here that when we sort of look at some of these numbers, like, it's all pretty good. Like, we've been kind of optimistic from a dynasty perspective about him. I think as a community at large, 1.61 yards per route run throughout his career, you're like, okay, all of these things sort of point in the direction. What do they know that we don't? And I think that that's the thing that gives me pause about Goddard. It just doesn't seem like just sort of viewing, you know, we understand that, what, less than 1% about a player. They don't understand 100% about a player, but they know a lot more than we do about what Goddard's development looks like. And I have a little bit of pause and concern with the fact that they haven't extended him yet. So we will see how that rolls. And they've extended other guys in his class, too. This isn't like they're cheaping out. There's other guys in that class that they've extended. They just haven't with Goddard yet. So we'll see there with what that opportunity brings. And when you look at it, he's had as a career 1.61 yards per route run. So again, that's good. He basically plays 55% in line, and he plays, you know, about a third of his snaps in the slot. So we'll see there what that goes to open up for him. Ultimately, I mean, he has a career high of 86 targets. He has a career high of 65 receptions. He's caught more than 46 balls only once, and that was in his second year. So he does have something to prove here. Again, we'll see what, hopefully he gets back healthy from this COVID list experience, and we can see some breakout opportunities here going down the stretch. Three additional names that I'm watching. Noah Gray, up to 46% snap share. Low level of production on the snap share with Kansas City, but just a name. Obviously, he's not taking Travis Kelce's spot, but just a name that I'm sort of watching as they sort of continue to try and incorporate more weapons into that offense. Just a name I'm watching. Probably not making a priority add or anything like that, but again, if you've got a roster spot to sort of float him through, I don't hate it in lieu of like a Divino Zigbo type. Durham Smythe leads Miami in tight end snaps. He's run 105 routes. It's 190 to Gesicki. Again, it's significantly less productive. But I think just as a name, if you're stuck at the position like a two tight end, you just need somebody, I think he's an interesting one. And lastly, Will Dissly, 82%, 88%, 72% snap share the past 3 weeks. I think he's an interesting one, playing ahead of Everett. Since Everett went out and this first week back, Dissly has played ahead of Everett. So I think that's a notable one to watch as well. All right, well, that'll do it for this episode. Again, some deeper talk on some of my favorite guys. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We will talk again very soon.